anyone who incites others to engage in rebelling, assists them in doing so, or gives aid and comfort to those engaged in insurrection is guilty of a federal crime. The committee believes that more than sufficient evidence exists for a criminal referral of former President Trump for assisting or aiding and comforting those at the Capitol who engaged in a violent attack on the United States.
Maryland Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin announcing one of four crimes the January 6th committee says former President Donald Trump committed.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
The committee voted to refer the charges to the Justice Department, and this comes 2 years to the day after Trump tweeted an invitation to a protest, quote unquote, on January 6th, telling his supporters, quote, be there, we'll be wild, exclamation point. We're going to talk about what we learned from what's likely the January 6th committee's final meeting and these criminal referrals now with Jessica Levinson. She teaches law at Loyola Law School and is our regular Legal Eagle here on Press Play. Hi.
Hi. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Well, you watched the proceedings today. Anything new or basically just a summation of what we've learned so far?
I think it was largely a summation of what we learned so far. Maybe a few little nuggets that go to the former president's state of mind. But I think it was smart that they basically said, okay, and here's the in conclusion for all of the hearings that you heard, because they know that this particular committee vanishes in just a few weeks because Republicans will take over the House.
Right. And so they sum it up. They play some very, very compelling video, kind of a mashup of the highlights of their of all the testimony that we saw in public. And it was quite riveting still, even though we've all seen these a lot of these images many times over. And they voted, as we just heard, unanimously for these criminal referrals. So let's go over all four of them. We have inciting insurrection, conspiracy to defraud the United States, obstruction of an act of Congress, and making knowingly and willfully materially false statements to the federal government. Can you explain these four charges?
Absolutely.
Or referrals, I should say, not charges.
Yes, right. And I mean, it still is significant, but you're right that referrals is the key here because this is a House Select Committee. Obviously, they can't go into federal court and prosecute anybody. What they can say to the Department of Justice is, we've interviewed thousands of people. We have thousands and thousands of pages of evidence and transcripts. And here's why we think that you can actually go into a court and prove these charges beyond a reasonable doubt. So let's start with the insurrection charge, because I think that's one of the ones that people are really focusing on. And I think we might be misunderstanding what the consequences of that particular charge are. In this case, I think it's not, if you listen to Jamie Raskin's words, it's not so much that he thinks Trump incited the insurrection. I heard him focus on assisting, aiding, or giving comfort to those who engage in an insurrection. That could be significant. We don't know, but we're correct to talk about it as inciting an insurrection, the charge. But when it comes to Trump himself, I think they're really focusing on this idea of assisting, aiding, or comforting. Now, one of the things that Jamie Raskin focused on is he said in the statute, if you're convicted of this, then you're disqualified from holding future federal office. This is something that Madeline, I know you and I have talked about months and months ago, but I'm not sure that that applies to the president of the United States, where for the president, the qualifications for holding office are in the Constitution. The Constitution obviously trumps the statute. Now, for the other charges, there's conspiracy to defraud the United States. What's that based on? That's based on the big lie. It's based on this scheme that former President Trump had that Mike Pence could somehow refuse to certify the Electoral College results. There's also another charge here, conspiracy to make false statements. That relies to the electors plot, this fake electors plot. That's one of the charges that we hadn't frankly heard as much about. And then of course, there's the charge that you mentioned, obstructing an official proceeding. The focus there is on former President Trump and John Eastman, the former Dean of Chapman, And again, this plan that they would thwart the certification of the Electoral College count.
So this was this infamous memo that Eastman wrote.
Yes, I think the basis of that particular charge, although there are other pieces of evidence, is that infamous memo of here's how you go about making sure that Mike Pence can, in my view, violate his constitutional duty and working with state electors, submit fake slates of electors and ensure that there is not a certification of the Electoral College result on January 6th.
Okay, so they mentioned, Raskin mentioned Trump, he mentioned John Eastman. Who else was referred for possible criminal indictment?
So what I heard them really saying is Trump, Eastman, and then sometimes and others. I didn't specifically hear that we're talking about, for instance, Mark Meadows or Clark. And what I heard them say a number of times is, there is more information here. There might be more people that could be referred for criminal prosecution, but a lot of people didn't respond to us. And I think that's what leads into the other part of what they referred here, which is four Republican members of Congress. They said, we think they should be referred to House Ethics for the simple proposition that they just refused to comply with subpoenas.
And that includes Kevin McCarthy, the presumed but not guaranteed next Speaker of the House. Also, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, and Andy Biggs of Arizona. Given the fact that the Republicans will control the House in the next Congress, how likely is it that these four will be referred to the House Ethics Committee?
Well, I think they'll be referred to the House Ethics Committee, but probably not that much more. Now, you know, to answer the rest of your questions in terms of criminal referral, who are we potentially looking at? Again, it's Mark Meadows. Potentially, it's Rudy Giuliani. We heard that name again today. And potentially, Jeffrey Clark. But I heard a lot of Trump and others. And I think, obviously, the big takeaway here is the Department of Justice will make its own independent assessment. And with respect to the House Select Committee, yeah, I would say, you know, good luck. I think this particular committee wanted to go on record, but I don't think anything's going to happen as a result.
Yeah, so they might be referred to the Ethics Committee for sanctions, but nothing's going to happen in that new Ethics Committee.
I think that's right.
Right. They won't be sanctioned at all. Okay, so this ball, I guess, is now at the Justice Department. And what do you expect will happen?
So I expect that the Justice Department will take, and we know it's an independent counsel now who's in charge of looking at all of this because Merrick Garland has appointed an independent counsel, will take all of the evidence that they don't already have from the January 6th committee, and they'll do what they should do, which is look at this with their own, again, independent assessment. Now, I think there's been frustration on the part of the House Select Committee, and they've said this mostly privately, but we've heard reporting about it and somewhat publicly, that they're basically frustrated. They have moved more quickly than the Department of Justice has. And one of the things that I know they really thought about was, will it help or hurt the Department of Justice in moving forward with its investigation if the House Select Committee really puts a thumb on the scale? I think they ultimately decided for the history books, they couldn't have all of this information and then not refer criminal charges to the Department of Justice. But there's, of course, the fear that they don't want the Department of Justice to push back and feel like they need to be even more searching so it doesn't look like they're just bowing to the political pressure of the House Select Committee.
So if the Justice Department does pursue this against former President Trump, does that disqualify him from running for president again?
This is
or any
such
other office?
This is such an important question. And Jamie Raskin, as we mentioned briefly, when he was really laying out, and this to me was the highest drama of the morning, when Jamie Raskin was saying, here are the charges, and he was talking about the insurrection charge, and he really focused on that issue of, and if you're convicted, then you're disqualified from holding future office, future federal office. We've never been here before. We've never been in a situation where a former president who is once again a candidate for the presidency is potentially charged. But I would say it's the Constitution, that Trump statutes that sets the qualifications. The Constitution doesn't include this.
Jessica Levinson, our regular legal eagle here on Press Play. She teaches at Loyola Law School. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, analysis of what may have been the best World Cup game ever and where Messi and Mbappe go from here. That's next on Press Play.